Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Saturday, November 5th. Happy Saturday! I hope you're enjoying some rest today. We begin our readings with Ruth chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. The title in my Bible says, Boaz Marries Ruth. Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat down there, just as the guardian redeemer he had mentioned came along. Boaz said, "Come over here, my friend, and sit down." So he went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, "Sit here." And they did so. Then he said to the guardian redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here, and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me, so I will know. For no one has the right to do it except you, and I am the next in line." "I will redeem it," he said. Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the land from Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the dead man's widow, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property." At this, the guardian redeemer said, "Then I cannot redeem it, because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it." Now, in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel. So the guardian redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it yourself." And he removed his sandal. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, "Today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth the Moabite, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from his hometown. Today you are witnesses." Then the elders and all the people at the gate said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the family of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah." Here in this passage, we see that redemption comes at a cost. The closest relative or guardian redeemer of Naomi's family didn't want to function as the guardian redeemer because he wanted to protect maybe his reputation and perhaps his own inheritance for his kids. He wanted the property, but he didn't want the cost of caring for and protecting Naomi and Ruth. Boaz, however, was willing to possibly damage his reputation and take on this call to give an inheritance to the name of Mahlon by taking on this Moabite woman that we know as Ruth. He was in it for the gain of others and not just for himself. And that's a good word for us today. What today can we do to help other people flourish? Let's move over to the Psalms. Today is Psalm 5. And in Psalm 5, David is dealing with someone who is very wicked, and he's trying to cry out to the Lord for help. And in the end of the psalm, he remembers the beauty of taking refuge in the Lord. For the director of music, four pipes, a psalm of David. "Listen to my words, Lord. consider my lament. Hear my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. For you are not a God who is pleased with wickedness. With you, evil people are not welcome. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies. The bloodthirsty and deceitful, you, Lord, detest. But I, by your great love, can come into your house. In reverence, I bow down toward your holy temple. Lead me, Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. Not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with malice. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they tell lies. Declare them guilty, O God. Let their intrigues be their downfall. Banish them for their many sins, for they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. I love how this psalm begins with a metaphor and it ends with a metaphor. In verse 3, we have this picture of taking our request and laying them before the Lord. And so in this moment, I just want you to take your request, whether it is about something that is evil, that is happening, that you want to stop in the world, or perhaps it's for a family member, but picture yourself laying it before the Lord. And it's so beautiful because as the person in the Psalms, I guess David, sits and waits, he knows that the Lord is going to do something about it. He says, he waits expectantly. And then the image at the very end of the psalm of the Lord and his favor being our shield. And so I just want to encourage you with that today. The Lord is blessing you with his favor, and he is a shield for you. Okay, let's turn over to the book of Hebrews. Today we're in Hebrews chapter 6. Verses 1 through 12. And you might remember that yesterday, the author of Hebrews was a little bit chastising his audience for the fact that they needed milk and not solid food. In other words, they wanted to talk about the elementary elements of the gospel and not to think about some of the deeper aspects. And I can identify with them. Sometimes I just like to go back to the milk. But today, he's going to encourage us to move forward toward maturity, starting in verse 1. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instructions about cleansing rites, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, and who have fallen away, to be brought back to repentance. To their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Land that drinks in the rain, often falling on it, and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed, receives the blessing of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are convinced of better things in your case, the things that have to do with salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end, so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. This is a very difficult passage in Hebrews chapter 6 to interpret. There's lots out there on the internet and commentaries about it. I want us to remember what the Bible Project said about the book of Hebrews, that the preacher's purpose is to give us some admonitions, some warnings, a caution even, lest we fall away. He's writing the book of Hebrews to help the people see Jesus is better than all other things. Perhaps many had fallen away from the faith because they expected Jesus to come back quickly. And when he didn't return, they wondered, was Jesus really the Messiah? And here the author uses some difficult and very poignant language to remind the people that if they fall away, they may not have a chance to repent. Now, I do not believe that this passage is saying that we can lose our salvation. This is, I think, more about someone who intentionally moves away from the faith, that disregards Christ as Lord, that says, I no longer believe. And so on the flip side, for those of us who do believe, I think that this passage helps us to remember that we need to have assured confidence in God's promises, that God sent Jesus as the high priest. He is the sacrifice of atonement. He is better than an angel or Moses. And ultimately, it is only through faith in Christ that we can have salvation. Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for the reminders in the Psalms that you are our refuge and you hear our prayers. And so we lay them before you and wait expectantly. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to move from the elementary truths to more mature thought about you, and that you would give us the mental ability to do so. Ultimately, Lord, help us to hold you high, to remember your lordship over our lives, and today to dwell on the beauty of who you are, Lord Christ, and salvation in your name. Thank you for another reminder of your faithfulness through the sun that has come up and through waking us up to a new day. Your mercies are new every morning, and we praise you and thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen.